curious if you're willing to share how finances work as a pro runner.
We're paid by, what's it called? BlackRock. Geordie is actually like severely in debt. That's his one vice.
But you can still do it and you can make free money from doing it, but it's not worth it. I don't support.
Yeah.
We've seen the stats.
It's not good. It's not good.
Does that feel like a good contribution to the team though?
Oh, absolutely not.
When do you think is the right time to move up to the next distance?
I think you'll know when you're feeling a little bit of emptiness. You can't really go back to the 1500. My philosophy now is the best athletes in the world that are winning all these things are either borderline injured or... So if I know how to... then I'll be the greatest athlete that ever lived.
Dear Coffee Club boys, what are your guys' favorite and least favorite workouts?
I'm going to go least favorite first. Maybe like a long run.
I'm not lying when I say I like all the workouts though.
My threshold heart rate is 189.
What do you all reckon the cure to male loneliness is? We're still looking for answers and we'll get to the rest of them.
Find out more on the Coffee Club podcast.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 206. Today, as promised, we're going to do a very exciting Q&A episode. But before we get into it, we do have a couple other little things to get into. First of all, some much anticipated bean shout outs. Dun, dun, dun.
I'll try to do the ASMR, didn't work. Okay.
Live from New York.
It's Saturday Beans. Night Live. I have beans galore here for Coffee Club boys.
All three from New York.
New York is probably one of our Coffee Club capitals of the world. We have many capitals, but that's one of them. We have this Brooklyn-based Say Coffee. Arguably one of the best coffees in NYC, which is a big hot take. This is from Jenny from Brooklyn.
Wait, that box looks a little light, Ollie.
Suspiciously light.
What happened to all the beans in it?
I forgot to tell you guys, I sleepwalk. And when I sleepwalk, I make coffee sometimes and it's just out of my control.
Sleep barista.
Yeah, I sleep barista. But there is some beans here left for you guys. It's from Jenny. And George and I got to meet Jenny. And the first time we met her at the On Right to Run. What's the thing called? It was a charity... pop-up event. It was awesome.
I can't. Yeah, the day before the marathon. Yeah.
There's a little slogan for
so they
it.
Had a really big impact on you guys.
It definitely did. And then the next at the marathon, she came over and she was wearing a red wig. She looked completely different. So
it was dope.
It was dope. It threw me off a little bit, and I was like, oh wait, yeah, that's Jenny. So thank you, Jenny. Appreciate it. Thank you for being a fan.
Beans look like primo. The branding on them.
Very, very good branding.
It also came in the classic white bag that we love.
You know?
Yeah.
The next bag Geordie is holding.
Also from Brooklyn.
Do you want to do the shout out? And
roasted in Paloma craft coffee from Blythe. And also, wait, I think we got these mid-cheer section, didn't we?
We also got this mid-cheer section.
From someone running?
No, from
no,
that
would
have been sick if they're running with a bag of beans.
Someone ran 12 miles with the bag and then gave it to us, just launched it into the cheer section.
Me and Geordie aren't paying attention, just hits me in the head.
George.
Oh, that would have been so good,
That would have been epic.
Did you have these this morning?
These are the ones that the ladies,
didn't you have one
teammates Olivia, Josette, myself, my brother Chris, and Kelsey, our assistant coach, had after practice. So they were pretty good. They're pretty good. The next bag we have is from, it was relayed off from Joe and Sage. And the
classic left on the car.
Left on the car, red bag. So I don't know how George feels about that.
Are these the Shawnee T ones?
These are the Shawnee T ones.
Shout out to Shawnee T. He's Shawnee a lifelong T's coffee club.
And historian.
He's a historian.
That's what it has in my notes here.
So how did these come to be? Through Tom, through Clegger, and then at practice. What? Where are they from?
So this is from our longtime fan and historian, Shawnee T's dad, who roasts beans.
Oh, also in our notes, the ones from the fan who sent
Jenny.
Jenny?
Yeah.
Is she the one that wanted to shout out Old Man Run Club?
Yep.
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
And a 26-year-old fan. So. Just to tick all those boxes.
We'll tick those boxes there. We've ticked them. This looks interesting, I would say. I'm looking forward to it. The red bag, actually, I don't mind it. It's kind of kind of cool.
Well, now that everyone's gone to the, everyone heard us say that premium coffee, white bag, everyone heard that. So now it, the whole matter is going to switch if you want to be different.
Mm. Do you think we can have that much impact on the coffee industry?
I think so. I think if you probably track the stock price of the, you know, there's probably an ETF there out in the world, which is related to coffee prices on something out there. And if you, you know, track that and correlate that against our mentions of things with coffee, I think you'll see a good correlation.
In that case, I'm going to short red bags.
Insider trading.
Now that I know what that means after starting the big short last night, which it's so good.
You know what?
We already went through this.
You know what's funny is that...
I didn't finish it.
Michael Berry, is that the guy?
Yeah.
Like every... And it happens so frequently now, but like... Like there'll always be a headline that's like he's shorting the entire stock market, like it's about to crash. That happens very frequently.
Well, wasn't someone was like trying to short the AI market last week? That was in my news podcast.
I bet a lot of people are, because there's other
shorting Nvidia and
saying they're all
Palantir
inflated,
something like that.
Because didn't Nvidia hit like $3 trillion or something? Really?
Yeah, so I'm gonna buy higher. I'm going to buy as high as possible. I'm going to buy it. Because I feel like it's just going to get better. It's just going to keep getting better.
I agree. You're going to take over the world.
From all the greatness. So
that's our stock advice section. Yeah.
Always buy high. Always buy high.
Buy high, sell low.
Yep.
That's genius.
Because then you're giving back to the world, you know? You're actually, it's like more of a charity thing.
Who are you giving back to?
Those poor billionaires.
People.
Those billionaires are struggling, man. Like,
yeah, that's what I heard.
They need the support.
Thank you.
They need to make sure that they can get their private jet tax exempt. So,
yep.
Do you sports bet, Ollie?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
What? I mean, not on
running. No. But I dabble in a bit of betting. Sports, if you call it sport, the LA Grand Prix 2024, I was betting quite a bit on a certain sport that's quite undervalued, which is called goldfish soccer. And
wait, you said LA Grand Prix.
What's the LA Grand Prix got to do with it?
Oh, I was betting when I was there.
Oh,
I thought you said you were betting. I thought you were just turning yourself in.
No. I was bored in LA, so I was betting on goldfish soccer and I lost $50. So
what country does goldfish soccer take place in?
I don't know what country it was in, but like it's just a massive tank and then they have two goals and these two fish and this floating little soccer ball and then they just push it into the goal and they go for about 5 minutes and then I bet on it.
You just pick one of the fish.
I bet it on Caesar because I thought, you know, Caesar, cool name. Also, he had the best odds and he got beaten every game and I lost $50. But I won that race. So, you know, it
paid off.
Everything turns around. Yeah, everything turns around. But do you sports bet, George?
Can you write off sports betting losses?
That's a great question.
I actually don't think you can. I was like listening to some podcast about it.
Are you looking into writing off your sports bet? Your sports bet?
In order to call.
Just to pay less taxes, yeah. Just lose all of it.
Jordy is actually like severely in debt with sports betting. That's his one vice.
I actually never have.
You've never sports betted?
No.
I've only done it from that stupid golfers soccer thing, and I've done it once with rugby league, like when I was 18.
Dude, I got into it when I turned 18, big time. I was trying to hit all the multis and stuff, and then out of it. And then, not to get too deep into it, but at one point in my life, I got really into arbitrage betting. I feel like I've maybe mentioned that on the pod before.
Wait, I don't know what that is.
You don't know what it is? Okay, well, let me tell you. Well, can we just say I don't support sports betting anymore?
Yeah.
We've seen the stats. We've seen
it's not good. It's not good.
How bad of an impact it has. And it's funny because it's more of a relatively new thing here in America. Not in certain states, but in general. But in the Commonwealth, it's actually more of a part of life, I suppose. And so, okay, the way it works, this is the 30-second review of arbitrage betting. So in Australia, the different websites, they all offer these sign-up codes or they'll have like special weekends. Let's say it's like the Melbourne Cup or something. They'll have like these promos where you can get free bets essentially. And so what you can do is you sign up for all the different accounts and you take all as many of the free bet money as possible and you bet it. And then in Australia and probably other countries, there exists these websites where you can be there's odds. I forget what they call it. They have an official name, but it's essentially as if you're shorting bets. So you can be the one who provides the bet for someone else to bet on. So in arbitrage betting, you bet both on one thing happening, and then you also bet on everything except that happening on this other website, and then you profit via the free promos that you take advantage of. However, these websites know about it. So with free promo money, they often have these stipulations, like in order to cash out that money, you have to turn it over 3 times, or like they have all this like silly stuff to try like not let you do it, but you can still do it and you can make free money from doing it, but it's not worth it. In conclusion,
oh my gosh,
it's a free money glitch, but it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. And I hope that people listening don't start trying to do it, because maybe they patched it by now.
I love that you've just explained how to do it. So yeah, don't do it.
This was a while ago. This was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, so yeah. It's different now. It's different now. You can get AI to do it. So
probably. So.
All right. In conclusion, none of us do it and we don't recommend it.
Yeah. In conclusion, sports betting.
Yeah. Big time.
Big time.
So that's our gambling section's out of the way.
And movie recommendation, The Big Short.
Big Short movie culture section out of the way. So now we can get onto some running, some little catch up with the boys. Guys, how are... What'd you guys have today? Why were you meeting at the East Boulder?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, because I thought that meant session day.
Where, I think Ollie, speaking of money changing, I think Ollie's been lobbying the coaching staff
to make practice
closer. To make practice closer to his hour. I think he's just been like putting some cash under the table or something.
Smart.
Ollie. You can't prove shit.
Actually, maybe... makes sense in now that we're going back to the money, because I don't know if this system is in place where there's monetary penalties for being late. So actually it's in all his interest maybe to pay money to have it closer to him so then he doesn't get penalized.
He was early today, so this is looking possible.
I've just gone to the point with that money intake now that like even if I am late by a couple of dollars, they can't force me to pay him. So I might just not pay him.
Does that feel like a good contribution to the team, though?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I know particularly Kai and Robert are just so fixated on that. Like, it seems like their happiness derives from people being like 2-3 minutes late, so they get those $2-3. I think my happiness is now deriving from them just saying no to them. It's like, what can you do? It's like, oh, we'll have the gala without you.
Classic standoff.
I'll have a different party.
Sounds like a Mexican standoff.
Except it's not Mexican. It's German, Australian versus Australian.
I love that.
But yeah, the practice has been near my neck of the woods recently.
So you guys just had an easy run today.
We had an easy run today.
Okay.
You're tallying up quite a big thing. You didn't turn up to practice today. I don't know what's going on.
You didn't come at all.
You're in the red right now.
I'm really in the red, and Kai and Robert have been messaging about it.
Yeah, we've been just like, where's Morgan? He's just tallied. His bill's going to come up.
It's just half an hour later. Yeah. It's like, I guess today we're going to run without him again.
Also, I'm pretty sure the real Ritz has been kidnapped, because today he turned up with an NAU shirt and hat on.
It was good. Yeah.
And I don't know how I feel about this.
For brand reasons.
What?
Well, it doesn't matter. Unbranded. Brand. Okay.
Fine. Unbranded.
Yeah. It was unbranded. It was just NAU. It was a college brand.
Wow.
Apparently, it's signing day.
It's signing day, which is a big deal in American high school culture. Apparently, it's like one of the, probably near the level of when you get married, like that high level of just, it's a big anticipation.
Imagine
signing off your future.
Imagine if, like, because they do it on stage right at the table. Yeah. Imagine if Eddie just pulled a fast one and switched hats.
What school do you reckon would be the one to swap to?
And she went to like Oregon or something.
Oregon would be the one to do it. That'd be the controversial one.
I'd love the last minute swap from Maddie. That'd be hilarious. Also, you could just see Ritz's like soul just leave his body if that ever happened.
Good for Ritz for supporting his daughter.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, he doesn't, it's funny for someone who went to CU that lives in the area, he doesn't really give a fuck about CU.
No, but he gives a fuck about Boulder. He's very like pro Boulder to flag stuff, which is why I was like, this must not be the real Ritz, because you're wearing NAU stuff and NAU is flag stuff. That is like flag stuff is like, it's flag stuff v Boulder. Like, or as Neil Gourley would wear on his shirt, flag stuff versus everybody.
I'm pretty sure Ritz said that if he was like a senior in high school right now, he would go to NAU.
Yeah, because he's obsessed with running. 100% he would. I mean,
I think if you polled high schoolers in America right now, the stats would be a bit overwhelming.
But it depends on the education situation, because some kids value their education.
Well, what are you trying to say about an NAU, a Northern Arizona University education?
Would you trade out your Wisconsin degree for an NAU degree?
Would not if you put it like that.
To train under Mike Smith.
I'm saying that you're sacrificing something.
We've
for gotten something
off
greater.
Topic. We've gotten off topic.
What was? Oh, just training life. Yeah,
just training life. But we've been in my neck of the woods in South. It's technically South Boulder, but we're at the East Boulder Rec. Running
a few strides on the turf.
Jordy looked great today. Mario and George were as far away as possible from the coaches, doing their strides on the other side of the turf.
Dude.
Jason's been in town, which has been lovely. Yeah. So he's been doing treatment and stuff like that. And yeah, it was nice. People came over for coffee afterwards. Jordy came over and saw Crispy, and Crispy. A few of the ladies came over for a coffee and checked out the house. Had the fireplace going. It was good.
That's beautiful.
It was lovely.
Good ambiance.
Yeah. So it was good.
What have you been up to, Mark?
Well, speaking of running on the turf, it's get to that time of year, cross country season.
Season, baby.
Which doesn't really exist for us. But this is a World Cross year. As many of you would know, World Cross is taking place in Tallahassee January 10th next year. And it is my goal to try and race in that. So I did my first turf session. Well, actually, last week I did grass strides for the first time. And then I did a session on the turf yesterday, in preparation for going back home to race the World Cross Trials, which was
where are they?
Canberra.
What kind of course is that?
Stromlo.
It's really nice. It's our main like actual purpose built. You might have seen it, Cam Myers and
I remember the video.
Them guys working on it. It's actually really good.
It's beautiful. I don't understand why that wasn't World Cross held for us when we were hosting it. We went to Bathurst and did this random course. Stromlo is made like it's a made cross country course. So
yeah,
and it's beautiful there, and it's got enough space to house a world championship. So maybe next time we get the bid, we can send it to Stromlo. But Morgan's had some success there in the past, haven't you, Morgan?
I have. Thank you for bringing that up, Ollie. I have won a national title there back in 2011 as a 15-year-old. I think
one of the best celebrations of all time.
Yeah, what did it look like?
It was a little spin.
No, it's not that one.
It's not that one? Oh, shit. Which one was that one?
Dude, I think that was strong in Adelaide.
That was in Adelaide.
No. Like the Kai Robinson?
It's not up here. It's more
it's
down
more
here.
Down there.
It's more just this. It's more just...
pointing his fingers down at the ground saying, I own this place.
Yeah, right. That's what I was trying to convey. And then I also raced World Cross Trials there in 2013, which I came, I think, second or third in.
Who won that?
To make my World Cross team. Jack Curran, I think.
Oh, well.
Shout out to Jack Curran.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How did it feel on the turf?
It felt good. It felt really good. You're
running hard?
So this is the thing is most of my training has been really threshold controlled style training. So not only was it like getting on the turf for the first time, but it was also my first kind of like proper harder session. So it was kind of twofold, a bit like, I was a little bit nervous going into it because I was like, all right, now this is a bit more of a test. And I was linking up with Pete's Dragons, which was pretty cool. They got a really good crew going on these days. And luckily enough, they've been very welcoming to me. So I knew that they were doing like I wanted to do at least one specific workout going into this race on top of just all the other like base work. And I wanted to do it this week because I go to Australia next week. So it just happened to line up really well that they were doing it yesterday. So I hopped in. And they were doing like up to 8 by mile at like, you wouldn't really call it VO2 max quite because I feel like 8 by mile VO2 max, that's kind of like a contradiction. Like you can't really do that, but it's like race specific for like 10K cross. So started at like 5 minutes and working down to like in the 440s. So it was really solid, hard running. But yeah, it felt good. It felt really nice to just be like running hard again on the grass. And obviously running on circles on the turf isn't the same as running out on a beautiful cross country course, but it did get me really excited to get back into that stuff. And yeah, I think if you ask any pro runner, and the three of us included, this time of year is so fun because you get to just do training and like nice different places and you're not on the track as much and you get to change it up a lot more. And yeah, this was just kind of another part of that where it's like, yeah, just get on the turf, run some hard miles, see how you feel. And it was good. Yeah. So all the rest of my training, I think leading into the race, which is in about a couple weeks, should be pretty chill, but it was a little tester and gave it a tick yesterday. So all good. Excited. Looking forwards. Excited to race.
How good?
I've done 8 by mile at VO2.
That's your takeaway? Yeah, I guess technically you could do it.
Yeah.
It's just a really
but my VO2 is 5 minute pace, so.
It depends how you define VO. Well, it's funny because, so yeah, I'm learning new, it's step by step, you know, learning new systems and processes. It's like, I'm pretty dialed in on like LT1, LT2 stuff. I mean, in a very personal anecdotal sense, I do want to do like proper testing to get like more lab style stuff. But the way I look at it for that stuff is twice a week, 3 times a week, 4 times a week, depending on how many threshold sessions I'm doing. Like I'm just collecting data right now. So I'm getting like more and more every week. I'm getting a little more in touch with like what these zones look like for me and how they feel and what the paces are. The term like a VO2 max workout, that can mean like a million different things. I think, can it though? For people, you know what I mean? Like people can use it. I think people use it interchangeably with a hard workout.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
But VO2 max is just VO2 max.
Exactly.
It's just the maximum.
But what does that mean?
Maximum oxygen delivered to.
But I mean, in a more practical sense. Like if you're trying to do a session that's mile reps at VO2 max, how do you figure out what pace you should be running?
If you're like borderline saying to yourself,
to do VO2 max miles, you have to be really good at running for a start, especially altitude, in order to run hard enough for a mile with enough rest to repeat it.
Yeah. K's would be a more, or 800s.
Would be, an easier starting point. The better you are at running, the longer VO2 rep you can do.
But it's really fucking hard.
But it's pretty hard. I think if you, how do you know it's VO2?
I think around 5K pace is like close to what your VO2 max is. That's again,
yeah, but is that converted to altitude? Like, do you then, is it like your 5K pace here?
No, you would have to change it. Yeah, you would have to do like your altitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, conversion. Technically.
What's a 5K pace for 13 minutes.
Yeah.
So your PB is
faster at altitude, so.
But your VO2 max is also what you could run in a 5K when you're doing the workout, not what you can run in a 5K
mm-hmm.
when you're in peak fitness.
That's different. So say you can run 13 flat right now in a 5K. What is your mile VO2 max?
It's what's that for?
At sea level.
At altitude here. Well, I'm saying for us, not for sea level people.
So that what pace is that? 410 pace or something?
It's 62 points. So yeah, call it 410.
And then if you're going to convert to altitude, what's that? 6 seconds?
At least.
For boulder?
And probably plus a little more. Maybe it's 420s?
Yeah.
I think you could run VO2 miles at 420, which if you could do that up here times like four or five, you're really freaking fit. I think if you did 4-5 miles at 420 up here, you could probably think that you could run 13 minutes.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll do that tomorrow.
But then again, I don't think it's that simple as well. You know what I mean?
Oh, I thought it was. Let's just go and do it tomorrow.
Then you'll be in 13 minutes. Exactly.
Because we're highly trained athletes. So I think that for us.
Physically, not mentally.
Not mentally, not at all. We're actually detraining mentally. I think that you could do that. Let's say like you were building up training. I think you could do that workout potentially before you could go do it in a race. Does that make sense? That you could fake it because we have so much training disabilities.
The best way to be like going into those sort of things though is definitely, like you said, training the body like to that level and then just like tapering the mind. Just like losing as much intelligence as you possibly can. Because the less thinking you do, the less intelligence you have, the better you're going to run because you don't know any better.
That's actually true.
You just keep going.
But that is why I said that it's not, if you're doing 8 by mile, it's not VO2 max. A really standardized VO2 max session is like what the Norwegians would do. Not necessarily running in cycling is 4 by 4 minutes at VO2 max.
Well, I think like 16 minutes is like the sweet spot.
Really?
So that's why you don't need to do 8 by mile because you only need like 15 minutes at VO2.
One of the ways to tell it's not VO2
is if you start out at 420 and you finish at 440, you know that it wasn't VO2 in the first place and it was too fast.
It was threshold.
So that's how you know it.
And a VO2 max, now that we're talking about training in a super scientific way.
Oh, Jordy liked that one.
VO2 max reps, you would normally take about equivalent recovery, would you say?
So if it's 420, you'd take 420.
4 minutes-ish.
Yeah, probably like three. Yeah, three to four minutes.
Which is like, yeah, not that much different, really.
Like five times 1K with like 3 minutes, that would be like standard. A staple. Because that's like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's the kind of stuff you don't do a lot of in the fall. So
no.
Or really that much at all. Because you just can't do that at all very often.
Well, the plan is for me.
That's what you were telling us last week.
My new training method is just double VO2. So instead of doing double threshold, I'm just doing double VO2.
That's what Jerry does, apparently.
And then take a day off.
That's what they're doing over in Oregon.
It is. Jerry's shoemaker.
They just went.
Yeah, but he got that idea from me. He got that idea from me because I was, when I was in Eugene many years ago. Before Jerry was coaching. Before he was coaching Wisconsin, he was like, called me up as a fetus and said, hey.
How are you going to, if you're going to run hard in the second session of the day, I don't know when we're starting this, obviously hasn't happened yet. How do you run even harder than you already ran?
What do you mean in the morning? What do you mean we?
Well, you haven't done any, right? Yet.
No, but I've been told that double T is going to be specifically for Ollie. No, I don't know. He hasn't been told
double
that.
Double VO2.
I don't know who's going to be doing it, but I know he, I don't know if he mentioned it to you, but he said that certain people will do it.
He told me about it.
No, I think like my philosophy, my philosophy now is the best athletes in the world that are winning all these things are either borderline injured. Or
terrible. Such a good phrase.
They're borderline injured or they're running the red line. So if I know how to run the red line, then I'll be the greatest athlete to ever live for the next 4 years.
I think you just described 90% of pro athletes as well. Like that's like a selection bias because that's just like
if
every pro athlete.
If you're kind of like almost going to be injured or close to be injured, you're probably in the best shape of your life.
How do you know that?
Everything hurts in the morning? I don't know.
How are you going to know?
How am I going to know?
Ask our greatest inspiration, Jake Whiteman, how he feels about that statement.
I should ask Jake about that and see what he says.
Back to you and say, yeah. Oh, that's exactly my mentality as well.
He said like going into the final at Tokyo this year, I thought I couldn't get out of bed. And then I just started warming up and then I almost won. So
training's gonna be good this year.
Yeah, but I mean getting back on the grass and the cross country going more, because are you feeling like this has like been pretty fun motivation-wise?
Yeah, it's been super fun. I fucked up though because I didn't bring any spikes.
Oh.
I didn't really think about what I was getting myself into.
Barefoot.
So, no, I didn't do barefoot either. I pushed it out and I wore super shoes, which like super shoes on turf is like kind of like an oxymoron. Like it's still...
I was going to say, that makes you better.
Yeah.
Because it's so much harder.
I think it actually makes it harder.
Yeah, so it's better.
I think
better
this was my mentality because I had 99s and super shoes. I was like, you know, I think I could actually probably run an equal effort in 99s. Maybe even I could feel better in 99s. But if I am pushing 5+ miles of this session, I think at that point, my legs will be preserved via the use of super shoes. So that was my decision-making process there. But yeah, I mean, I just really want to do cross country again. That's like that's the root of this all. If there was, let's say, a circuit that existed through December, January, February, whatever, on the pro level that had one cross country race every week or 2 weeks, I'd be like, sign me up for that. You know,
dude,
what I
go
mean?
Go to Europe. Go to Spain
and
Italy.
To fucking Spain for
yeah.
It. It's bullshit. It doesn't exist here. Shout out to Sound Running. it's crazy.
Best week of the year.
Doesn't exist here. So this is my attempt to go do that. So
apparently there's heaps of money over there too, isn't it?
Actually? And they're stacked races. They low-key have some of the best runners in the world turning up to them.
It's Mario said Atawi? Like the 800 guy has been running cross in Spain. Just
making a bag.
Yeah, probably.
So, yeah. If I was European, I would 100% be doing it. Because like that's the other thing where there's like, this is the time of year where you don't want to be flying to Europe as well. You know? So,
yeah, true.
In a different lifetime, I would do that. Maybe once I retire to
a parallel universe.
Yeah. Well,
when you become an Italian farmer.
That's exactly it. Once I make my Stardew Valley dreams a reality, then I'll go also do cross country and make my cross country dreams
I'm going to feel so
left
out when you both become farmers. It's going to be fucking bullshit, man.
You can become a farmer too.
Where am I going to farm?
Buy a coffee farm.
Where?
somewhere at altitude.
Dude, honestly, yeah. You know where I would want to buy a coffee farm if I just became a millionaire and I started running like crazy well? Hawaii.
Not what I was expecting. Wait, that's not
even, I guess coffee farms don't have to be at altitude.
They don't have to, but I think they're better.
They're better at altitude, yeah. But I could live in Hawaii.
Yeah, I mean, people still drink it.
Dude, Hawaii is probably pretty expensive to buy one, though.
That's why I got to make bank. I got to win the 5K and the 1500 at the Olympics. I got to break 2 world records, all the Australian records every year, and get appearance fees, and then I might be able to like afford a 20% deposit.
It's a good goal.
You could buy a tree.
I can buy one tree.
One coffee tree.
Why? Bush. You shouldn't let these barriers that you've mentally put up be limiting you right now.
Financial barriers?
No, you wouldn't.
They're non-existent. You could technically plant a coffee tree right now in your backyard.
Yeah, but it's too cold.
Yeah, but you can get a greenhouse. You can.
There's a place. I don't know if you've run down that section. Do you know where? You guys know where Bobo is, the car park, and you keep running down that road on the other side. If you keep going down there, but just after the street where you can turn onto the path, there's a house that's down there, and it has this greenhouse, and it's the most beautiful like greenhouse I've ever seen, and it's like a homemade greenhouse that's just like attached to the house. It's sick.
Do they have coffee beans?
They grow a lot of tropical plants in there. From what I've seen, it's quite high, and it's, you know, really even cool.
Jason has a coffee plant. Did you guys know this?
Jason does?
Yeah, he does.
Is it like bonsai?
I don't think so. I think it's a regular coffee plant. And he said he was really sad because I think it finally sprouted after a long period of time and he wasn't there for it.
Oh, shit.
I don't think it's very successful.
How many beans do you get out of one coffee tree, do you think?
I think he gets one. When it's young, I think it takes a while. I'm going to be honest. I don't know much about coffee trees. I assume that they take a few years to get to the level of full harvest, you know?
Mm. I feel like Gus could buy one in like Costa Rica or somewhere for us.
I mean,
would you guys move to Costa Rica to become coffee bean farmers?
Pretty high on my list of things I would definitely sign up for.
It sounds pretty good, to be honest.
Let's do it. Let's make a pact.
I mean, maybe that's one thing we do instead of like for farming purposes. For the coffee club to continue after we retire from running, we just go and start a coffee farm in Costa Rica. And we do the podcast with the trees in the background.
Be beautiful.
Yeah. And we just give us fans updates on our coffee beans. And it takes like 2 years until they can actually get any. But
okay, new dream unlocked.
Yeah.
I know I already mentioned this on the podcast a year ago, but the trip to Ethiopia, the coolest thing, one of the coolest things was that the really cool coffee shops had coffee trees in the front.
That's so sick.
As like aesthetic vibe.
That's such a cool thing.
Like pretty cool to be able to do that. But yeah, what were we talking about? Running or something?
This Q&A episode. Should we start the Q&A for the episode?
The problem is...
Coffee club, coffee club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
The problem is we don't have any Q&A. No one asked us questions, so we're just delaying it.
Oh, you thought Q&A meant the fans?
Yeah.
No, it's just between us.
It's just questions between us.
It's just questions. It's just a normal, regular episode. No, we'll get on to them because we really, really do appreciate you guys sending them in, and we're sorry that it took us so long to get to them, but we just had some really important stuff to talk about. And we had some other running stuff to talk about, which we're not going to talk about now because there's been actually some crazy shit going in the running world, but we'll just leave that as an open loop and we'll never close that. So question number one, let's beep that.
Let's restart the episode.
Dear Coffee Club boys, what are your guys' favorite and least favorite workouts? It could be anything from 200s and hills or even a half marathon workout. You guys are all such an inspiration for me as a high school runner. I remember finding the pod when I watched Morgan race at the LA Grand Prix and I realized I wanted to be a GoPro and be just like him. Thank you. Also, congrats on the win at Worlds, George. As a Kiwi, it was a very proud day and week. Also, Ollie, you're very hot. I just added that part in because he didn't actually say anything about you, Ollie. With much appreciation and admiration from California, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas. Thanks, Thomas.
Legend.
You got most favorite and least favorite workouts? It's a tough question, actually.
8 by mile of VO2.
That's definitely my favorite.
All his favorite workouts are ones that he hasn't done yet. They're just future.
Honestly, my most.
Oh, you go.
No, you go. My most favorite workout, honestly, is broken 600s.
Like the pure 1500 meter workout.
That's been my favorite workout for a few years. I just really enjoy the grind for that.
I don't know.
So it's it can vary a little bit, but it's usually 3 or 4 sets. 4 sets if we're like really hammering it, putting in the hurt locker. But 3 sets or 4 sets of 600, 400, 300, 200.
For the mathematicians out there, that adds up to 1500 meters.
Correct.
With rest.
With rest.
In between,
and then you have a rest after the set.
And normally, the within set rests are like shorter, and then long rests, like pretty long rests in between.
Like 3-4 minutes in between, yeah. VO2 max.
So I'm going to say even faster than VO2 max.
They're very quick, but because of the team we're in, like Jordy's done that session with me a few times in the early stages of this team, as well as having Yard, Mario, now Robert.
We actually run slower than we used to, though, and take.
Yeah, we used to rip it.
We used to run faster with more rest, and now we run slower with less rest.
But we used to rip it. But I love that session. I feel like it's a very bonding session with the fellas, and it's like one of those sessions that makes me feel really good about myself. And then the
important,
I guess, in running, because like everyone's just amazing, so you want to feel amazing too. The other session that I just don't like. Honestly, I'm not a big fan of the we wouldn't call it fartlek. What's like the longer reps out in Davis and Mesa, like 8 minute, 3 minute, or whatever.
Yeah, that's like a
8 minute.
The team does it as a fartlek.
Yeah,
but I know what you mean. It's different from like our usual fartleks.
It's not like the pyramid fartlek. I actually like that. It's the other one.
So the team will sometimes do a workout that's like you do like 2 minutes rest, but like jogging as a fartlek, and it's like 10 minute, 8 minute, 6 minute,
that one.
4 minute.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
not a fan of that. I honestly just mostly because I always feel great. Didn't we do the ten minute?
That's the one we did in New York.
Yeah,
and it was pretty miserable.
Well, it's miserable because let's just put this into context as a side note before George says anything about his favorite and least favorite. George and I said Prospect Park in Brooklyn, and then we got told, oh, we'll just do Central Park, and then we didn't even go on the loop. We went downhill on cement, and the other guys were wearing super shoes. And me and George were just wearing like 99s.
Air out your grievances.
And this is George and I, and also George is coming back from running too, and it's like this is like one of the worst things you can do. But it was okay, as in like we got it done, but it was not
also
my favorite.
I don't think I've on the New York marathon trip, I don't think I've ever had a workout that feels good. So
yeah, that's also just racing, like training in New York with that many people around, like
just after the travel.
It's just a lot of stimulus. But yeah, that would say that's my least favorite.
My least favorite, I'm going to go least favorite first. Probably just like maybe like a long run. Does that count as a workout?
Definitely like a hill climb?
Well, I actually prefer the hill climb. Just like a long run that's like kind of hard. I think I just like start to lose interest and I'm not very good at them. I always just want to stop. After like 90 minutes, I'm like, this is stupid.
You're going to have to get used to that for your marathon career.
Yeah. See, that's why I'd be no good at that at the moment. My legs hurt and I'm not good at it. And
what if you put barriers in it?
I never know what shoe to wear for a long run. I'm always like switching between just because I can't decide what's the right shoe. Because we have there's a lot of good ones, but.
There's some not good ones for long runs as well.
Probably in general.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a type of shoe.
Spikes or something.
Probably spikes. Wouldn't recommend that.
Also like a lot of the winter boots.
The hiking shoes.
Yeah. They'd be tough.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true as well.
They'd be tough.
So that's up there. But what's great at the moment is we hardly ever do long runs.
Yeah. We've been slack on the long runs.
Because now we have like every second long run has like some easy threshold, or sometimes VO2, depending
on
who you
are. I just run 16 miles of VO2.
Depending who you are, just more VO2, or we do some threshold, some LT1 rips, and I prefer that. Makes seems like goes by faster, and those I feel better changing shoes and actually running like slightly faster than like that in between pace that I'm just no good at. And then favorite threshold, favorite workout is I like things that are like cruise reps. I don't even know what that means, but something that's like controlled but fast. So it's like not very hard, but you run fast enough.
That sounds like threshold.
I've never done this. I've never felt this before.
I've never felt that either. I don't even know what that
is.
Doing,
is this like training outside of like
is this like VO2 max but slower?
Exactly. Dude, you're onto it.
I think I figured it out.
You've nailed it.
I think I figured it out.
What's an example of a cruise?
Oh, I'm not sure.
8 by mile. 8 by mile. 8 by mile at cruise.
What are we? Are you talking like mile reps or shorter than mile reps?
It's probably shorter.
Okay. Like 800s.
Maybe. I think I've just made it up in my mind.
Yeah, I'm trying to like link this to a specific session. I'm like,
maybe it's like
can't find it.
Maybe it could even be 400s, at like not that hard. But I think anywhere between 400 and a K with enough rest that it's just like.
This sounds like double threshold. Like you do like the Ks in the morning at that pace and then you do the 400.
But he's talking about faster than threshold.
Oh, so you're saying,
well, I'm not sure. I just kind of made this up on the spot.
What about your hurdle workouts? You don't like those?
That wouldn't be up there.
Oh, really?
Because
you do a lot of those. So I was wondering.
Like running fast enough that it feels good, but not long enough that it gets hard.
I'll tell you what you're talking about.
What am I talking about?
You're literally talking about, okay, you're talking about doing 400 meter reps at threshold, but not with a jog recovery.
That might be it.
Like, because then you can feasibly get down to, if you're really fit, you could get down to like 65, 66s, but you feel really good doing it.
Yeah.
We did that session together, the three of us, remember?
That's the one.
Yeah, it felt good.
We went 64s in that one.
I don't think we did.
Yeah, we did. Last set, we did 64s.
Really?
Yeah. We went down from 67 to 64s and we did 3 sets of 4.
Damn. Well, I got injured right after that, so. Wasn't good for me, I guess.
I think George, you also had. I think George also had an issue after that too. I was the only one left.
I was already injured. It's different.
Yeah, you were injured before that. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that's me.
That's a good answer. Tough to follow these ones. I love every single session equally, so I have a lot of favorites.
That's a cop out.
My least favorite. I'm trying to think. Probably, I do have an actual answer, but I feel kind of bad saying it. It's a specific Hawk marathon session that I would do a lot with Joe last year, about a year ago now, 11 months ago, where we would do 3 by mile, 4 by 200, 3 by mile, 4 by 200 meter hills. And our miles would be one at threshold, one at like sub 430, one at threshold.
That sounds hard.
And then repeat, rinse and repeat. And the 200s would be hard. And I just didn't like it because, well, one, I got injured from doing it. That was like the session I did on the morning. Well, the next day I had my disc bulge. But also, this is like my current brain talking. I find it really hard to mix workouts now. Like to mix like threshold running. And I understand this was a half marathon specific session. So the stimulus was something very different. The stimulus that we're looking for was something different from something that I'm trying to look for now. But I just found it really hard to do like threshold, VO2 max rep, 200s all together. So I don't really like sessions like that much. I like sessions where it's like, this is threshold, this is harder. My favorite session is, you guys want me to say double threshold, don't you?
I'm expecting it.
I fucking love double threshold.
But is this your actual answer?
I'm not lying when I say I like all the workouts, though. I love double threshold.
I feel like that's your favorite. I feel like it is.
But I really like hills as well.
You do. I think you like hills a lot.
I like hills, but I also like long runs. Like I like specifically what you like. Now I do long run tempos. I love long run tempos as well.
Like the one I said where you do some like reps, or just one where it's tempo the whole way?
So I started doing tempo the whole way, which is kind of, so I did it last Sunday and I did it 2 weeks ago as well. And it's something that we used to do at Wisconsin sometimes. And It's something that I didn't want to do at altitude because I was like, it's really hard to like, you know how there's been in general, I would say a big move against doing anything long tempo, anything that you'd consider long tempo or long threshold. You know, we would.
Everyone breaks it up.
Now you would break it up.
Yeah.
And there's really good reason for that. Like in terms of like getting, technically you should be able to get higher quality for lower stress or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's something about longer tempo that I just fucking love, even though like it doesn't fit into that box necessarily. And like,
so what does it look like?
I just do it slower. Like I did, like I just do 8 miles and then I do 7 miles at tempo and then like 1 mile cooldown for 16. And I just do it based off heart rate. So I just keep my heart rate like real, like lower than I would keep it for even an LT1 session. And then at certain points, I do it on the Monarch Loop. So if you guys know the Monarch Loop, well, for you, those of you at home that don't know the Monarch Loop, it's a good loop, but half of it is one, it's a square essentially, or a rectangle. And one of the long stretches is slightly downhill and one of the long stretches is slightly uphill. So it's actually, you're going to get like natural variation on those two. So my pace is not perfectly even, but I try to keep my heart rate as like
even as possible.
Yeah. And I start below like what LT1 would be, and then it'll creep up to like where LT1.
Is your heart rate about like 100, 110?
Yeah. I started I try to get it above like 60 for the beginning, and sometimes it'll creep above 100. But yeah.
Do you change shoes or no?
I change shoes. I love the feeling of.
What's the highest you can get your heart rate? I'm curious now. Like
yesterday, my max heart rate for 8x mile VO2 max was 162.
Jesus, that's me on an easy run.
So, I think my max would be 170, or maybe slightly higher if I was like dying. I guess it's zero if you're dying. Yeah. I don't know how that works. Actually, I'm not a doctor, but
my threshold heart rate is 189.
So is that every Sunday?
I've been doing it on weeks where I don't do double threshold.
Mm.
Do you
take lactate after?
No, I don't bother because I know it's going to be pretty low. Mm. Well, I don't know, I guess. I pray that it's pretty low.
It's better to think that way and then just like, I'm good.
Yeah.
You don't need to test me. I'm good. I'm cruising right now. My body feels good. Legs feels good.
I should take lactate just for the data collection.
So you do 8x mile of VO2, but you just tell us. You just, it's low.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Like when the coaches get my lactate, it's like 9-1. I was like, well, it feels like a 1-2. So yeah, I'm good.
It's good.
I'm good.
But exactly what you said, George, a big part of the reason why I love a long run tempo so much is just it's way better than just a straight long run in terms of enjoyment factor and how you feel. So that's like a big part of what
I feel like you get more out of it as well. Like you just feel like you're more productive.
But it doesn't feel harder. I would say it doesn't feel harder. Like
actually,
if anything, it feels easier.
If anything, it feels easier.
Yeah.
Which is such a kind of oxymoron, but I swear that's how it works. We should get on to the next.
That was a good question. Q&A. Thank you very much. And thanks for saying that was hard as well, Thomas. Appreciate you.
Saw Morgan mentioned the logistics of getting access to the track for workouts in the last podcast. We're working on developing a public track in Boulder, which would give runners an alternative to the school tracks where access is often limited. Question, how much do you think local elites and pros would use a public track, and would it potentially help to bring more pros and elite groups to Boulder? From Victor. Wow. I love that we're being consulted on this.
I mean, obviously, right? If it was in the right place and it was really good.
If there was one track that everyone knew, this is the public track for use, I feel like it's like a community center for in the running world specifically. I think it becomes a hub just naturally for everyone. And it's something that it's a resource that people really value.
I would hope too, if it's a public track, I know that it would be funded by the government, right?
I don't know how that works.
But it would be nice if like those pro teams could public, donate money to it, maybe put up a banner of their team and...
Okay, guys, it was somewhere like that.
It has to be somewhere good. It has to like be better than going to Nawa.
So I reckon like Southeast Boulder probably would be a good place for
right next to his house. Can I just pitch an idea to you guys, slightly unrelated? At the Nawa track, for people that don't know where the team mostly works out, they do accept donations and they have banners along the thing.
Coffee club banner?
I was thinking of trying to donate. I was wondering,
I've thought about that before.
How much money do you think it costs to donate to get a coffee club banner up there?
Well, how much?
Probably not that much.
How much did Team Boss and OAC donate? We could find that out.
Yeah. We should
just ask
that.
Kelly.
We should look into that.
Because Tim Man also having a banner?
Yeah. They did.
Yeah.
Let's
do that.
Let's definitely do
that. But we make it something really funny. So every time like people go to the track, they
Why don't we do this? You know how like that new big screen has like a banner on the back that says like Nahwa High School, home of the Cougars? Why don't we like just bribe them?
We should pay
and just pay them to have that space and just a coffee club banner
off. We'll sponsor that. I'm sure that's
the biggest banner there. Just the most obnoxious banner. That'd be hilarious.
Let's do it. Coffee Club Cougars.
Yeah.
No, that already exists. That's like a real that's a thing. But I feel like, Victor, to answer your question, of course we would love a 100%. Track. Of course. I feel like when people talk about tracks though, it's like, aren't they like super expensive? Like probably a logistical nightmare, because they're something that's really expensive and probably hard to quantify, like,
or to maintain money and you need from. This big square of land. Like where are we tracking this thing?
Yeah, good luck finding like the developers in Boulder that like want to build like a million like new apartment buildings for
there's
that.
A lot of open space in my area.
There is,
and also it's got beautiful view of the Flatirons.
Is actually you live
where is the
such close radius to like 2 to 3 tracks?
3 tracks, yeah. So I don't have any excuse. I got
where is the perfect spot?
Right, Gun Barrel.
Does Gun Barrel have a track? No, so it would be Gun Barrel then. Also, a lot of the pro team lives in Gun Barrel.
Has to be
like
somewhere flat as well, though.
Yeah,
Has to be somewhere flat with space. And like a lot of the places that I'm thinking that are flat with space are really windy as well.
And that's the problem.
There is a bunch of logistical things.
What about if we just
maybe indoors?
Indoor 400-meter track.
Yeah,
that would be crazy. Well, you could. I mean, that would be huge as a public track because in the winter, a lot of people struggle to get access to things anyway. So then, if you make that track a public track with the dome over it,
or yeah, a bubble track,
that'd be sick.
As long as you name it after Coffee Club Memorial.
Well, don't worry, we're donating money to it, of course. Let's make that happen. Okay, next question coming in from Sam. Hey, Morgan, Jordy, and Ollie. Hope y'all are doing well. As a single XC guy in college, I was wondering if y'all had any dating advice. Cheers, Sam.
I haven't had a dating segment for a while.
Single XC guy. Well, there's your problem right there, buddy.
What? That he's XE?
That he's doing cross country?
Mm. No, I feel like cross country is trendy now. I feel like it's in. I feel like
you think so?
The dating scene for ladies and guys, people find that probably.
Why do you know that?
Why do I know that? my brother's been around town. Nah. I don't know. I just feel like, isn't like the jock usually. People aren't.
I don't think cross country runners count as jock.
No. What I'm saying is, I don't think the jock is as desired.
You don't think
as
the jock is in anymore. You think
the
anti jock,
the skinny, like you
skinny
know,
nerdy cross country runner
is in. I think that's in right now, like, compared to the jock,
like Finn from Stranger Things.
Yes,
he's not in cross country, but he's skinny and
tall. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry,
I would say my best advice to you, mate, is just. Become all American. Nah, honestly,
there's two ways to go about it. You either become really good at running, yeah. So then like everyone gets speed goggles for you, or you become really funny.
Really good running, really funny, or get a good like dress, like
or a good haircut.
Get a good haircut, get a good dress sense, like wardrobe. And like talking to girls, I wouldn't bother. I would just wait.
Overrated.
Wait, one of them might come up and say hello.
Advice.
We're terrible at giving advice in this.
From teammate. Dylan Jacobs, he said...
Yeah, try to date your teammates Sorry.
Start with your teammates.
He said the mullet has really helped.
You know what's also helped? Wearing something like a conversation starter.
Yeah, well, the mullet. Exactly.
Or wearing fish sandals. That also seems to be getting a lot of attention when I walk around a coffee shop.
I believe that.
I sat with Joe and Robert for a coffee, and like 5 people, including the barista, came up to me and said how much they loved my fish sandals. So wear something like that as a conversation starter. Or if you're at a pub, a great comedian always said, if you get bored, just throw a beer in a dog's face. Everyone will talk to you after that.
Okay, my advice, get a mullet and then go to your local line dancing.
Is that your advice? Is that
a combination? Combination.
That's been trademarked as the Dylan Jacobs method.
It probably is a good method.
Go to your local country bar. Mm.
I feel like, okay, so as a cross country guy, you got to find, I feel like it kind of depends who you're trying to date, if it's other runner people or if it's non-runner people.
That's a good quote.
But yeah. I guess no matter what, if you can add one more dimension to you, then you probably really increase your, what's the word for like how interesting you are? Your
aura?
Your aura, dude. Great word. Infinite aura, Ollie. So like you can be cross-country guy on its own, you know, maybe that's cool to some people. But if you're the cross-country guy and you're also something else.
Well, my brother thinks an artist. The best way to like get girls is just to become a DJ. That's what he thinks. Like if you just become a DJ, like a frat boy DJ, you'll get a lot of
dates. I'm happy with that answer.
Because my brother is a big hater of Disco Lines. He reckons he's talentless. And the only reason why he's popular is because he's a frat boy and he like plays off that vibe. And he's like very, very good looking, handsome gentleman. So then he picks up a lot of ladies. I think if you're a cross country runner and you like become a really, really good DJ, you start doing sets and stuff, I think you'll pick up a lot of interest.
You could have told that story without the hate to Disco Lines, you know?
Well, I wanted to tell it in context. I wanted to tell it in context because my brother has this thing, which I kind of agree with. I don't know if you're going to agree with this, Morgan. He reckons that DJs in the American DJs suck. He reckons European DJs are number one, and then like British in particular, number one, and then like Aussie, number two.
Seems
a bit biased, but
a decent generalization.
But he reckons
every single DJ in America.
Yeah. Sucks. My brother doesn't like Skrillex. Any of them, bro. Doesn't like it. Well, Skrillex is like one of the best producers, I reckon.
Yeah.
Around.
Well, so our final advice, I guess, is become a DJ.
Become a DJ.
But not an American one. So
but like, just what you should do is marry George, get New Zealand citizenship, and then become a DJ.
Great answer.
Because then you're a Kiwi and you're a DJ. Like, you're the best of both worlds.
Thank you, Sam. So, next question. Hi, my name is Danilo. I hope I didn't pronounce that wrong. Oh my God, how fortuitous is this? I'm writing from Costa Rica.
Oh wait, this guy's going to buy us coffee, though.
I'm probably the only listener from here. Brackets, hopefully not. Thank you. My question is about racing overseas. In December, I'll be running the Valencia Marathon, aiming for around 310 to 312. Nice. How do you deal with jet lag when racing abroad? I'll be arriving in Spain on December 2nd, and the race is on the 7th. I think that's enough time, but I'd love to hear how the pros manage it. Happy to represent the Central America Coffee Club pod fan. Ollie, please work on the naming for that. Thanks for keeping me company through this whole marathon build. Danilo Ramirez Chavez. I don't know if I'm doing that justice, but...
It's a great question.
Awesome to have a fan from Costa Rica. And this is a good... The question is about adjusting to jet lag. He's arriving on the 2nd. The race is on the 7th. One thing to also consider here is that marathons are in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's always a little bit weird. But honestly, let's try to crunch the numbers.
What's the time change from Costa Rica to... Valencia?
Not great.
That's bad, right?
It'd be like...
Middle of the night type. No.
It'd be like late night here would be like race start time in Valencia, I believe.
Yeah, 5 days is a tough time because... Well, I think our blanket advice, like this is the blanket advice, is probably, especially because you're racing in the morning, is try to just wake up early in the morning, start your day, drink your coffee, get your...
On day one. Yeah.
It'll suck as well. It'll suck, but it'll be worth it.
Stare at the sun. grounding light in the retina. First thing in
that'll
the morning.
That'll be like
training, coffee, all that stuff.
Honestly, that'll be good. Like, try and get an early start from day one. And then, like, the nice thing with that is you're going to be tired to go to bed early anyway, and you're going to be up early. If you start that routine as soon as possible, you would be good. I would also, how long would the flight be? I would recommend not even sleeping on the flight.
Yeah, it depends what your travel is, I guess. But, because, you know, I used to feel like that, but then sometimes I've like really tried to sleep on flights and I feel like it does help, but I think it really just depends on the time zones and
like what time you're getting into. Because if you're getting in the morning, it's probably better to sleep on the flight. But if you're getting on the evening, it's probably better not to sleep.
Technically, you could start also adjusting a little bit before you travel. Like none of us have ever really done that.
I know that's a method.
But that's like a thing that people will do. They'll start slowly going towards it. So I don't know if that means staying up later. I guess it does, right? I don't know.
No, I think it means trying to go to sleep really early.
Yeah, it does actually. But
Yeah, because that's what's hard in Europe is that it gets to like normal sleep time, but it's only lunchtime here, so it's hard to go to sleep. So maybe like get some red light glasses. Maybe this seems like a good idea. Maybe I should be doing this.
Jakob wears red light glasses when he does anything past like 6 p.m. Like video games or anything.
This is Joe Kligger.
Clexmex. Does he have red light glasses?
I think so.
Oh, fuck. He's smart. Need to get on that. I need
so
to get on that.
Maybe red light, like in the evening in Europe, so that you trick your body into being tired.
This is a big generalization, though. I feel like Costa Rica, the beautiful like Latin world, I feel like they probably stay up really late. That's a massive generalization, but I think they stay up really late. So I almost feel like you could stay up so late that you could
overstay,
that you could transfer the opposite direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah, eventually.
Can I just look up?
Well, I would just ask Chet for a plan.
What is the average bedtime in Costa Rica? No reception.
Dang it.
We'll come back to it.
Our satellite's out of range. I mean, we've given a lot of
possible advice.
A lot of possible advice. Any certain advice? Who's to say? But a lot of possible.
I think we've talked about a lot of stuff, but what we mentioned with the early mornings, get on as quick as possible.
Best method.
The basics.
I think that's the best method.
Try to get as much sleep as you can and take care of your body and all that stuff. I think that makes the biggest difference and that'll go a long way. And then also, you know, you're running a marathon, so if you're asleep for the first half, I actually don't think it really matters.
Your body's actually recovering while you're running.
Bring some caffeine gels along the way.
Your body's recovering while you're running because you're sleeping. So.
Then you'll be good. Next question. Hello, Coffee Club. I used to run the 400 meter in college, D2, so I've always been more fast twitch. I'm now in my late 30s and I've been exploring longer trail races. What is a simple way to approach training to get more fit without overthinking it? Is simply increasing volume a good approach? I admit I rarely go above 15 to 20 miles a week, but have begun to wonder if I just slowly increase mileage would be a good place to start. P.S. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Why is Santa Fe not considered more of a running mecca like Boulder and Flagstaff? It's at 7,000 feet and the weather is great. From Corey from Santa Fe. It's a great question.
Shout I went to Santa Fe a couple of years ago.
You loved it, didn't you?
It was sweet. It was freezing.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful.
So 15 to 20 miles a week.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of bang for your buck increasing volume.
Yeah. I think the volume increasing thing
might short
make
answer,
sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
It will help. You run more, it gets easier.
And
there's no doubt.
Don't even worry about intent. Like, keep it low.
Keep
to
it low.
Intensity.
Yeah. Don't even.
If you go from 20 to 40, the implications
that's
of that.
50% increase.
That
100%
increase. 100%
increase.
It depends how you look at it. I got you, Ali. I know what you meant.
Yeah, 100% increase. Because it's coming from 20 to 40. And then if you went from 20 to 80,
what would that be?
What would that be? 50% increase. 200% increase.
No.
250% increase. No. 1,000% increase. What is the 1,000% increase, Morgan, for 20 miles?
It's 10 times.
So that's 200 miles?
Yeah.
That would...
You could try that.
I don't know if that would help.
Yeah, the reality is lots of the science and the anecdotal evidence will show that volume is one of the biggest predictors of ability in this sport. And we can tell you that if you're sitting at 15 to 20 miles a week, you have a lot of room to wiggle room. And I think as long as you keep the intensity on the lower side, you can increase that a lot. And you can probably increase it pretty rapidly. Not that you should look for this 1,000% increase, but...
If you're saying Santa Fe is such a good place to run, like it sounds like a little more time spent on the trails would be
beneficial.
Would be desirable.
Well, if you're preparing for longer trail races, it'll make a big difference.
It'll help with your math as well. Particularly percentages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Increasing
percentages.
You know what? You just send Ollie a DM, tell him
get me working my math.
And he'll break it down for you.
I'll increase it by 50%, which will be 100 miles.
Yeah. But I think that's a no-brainer if you're in that position. But thank you very much for the question, Corey. We hope it goes well for you. Next question coming in from Sam. When do you think is the right time to move up to the next distance? Also, I was in attendance when Ollie won in London last year. Big smiles. Cheers, lads. Sam. When do you know it's the right time?
To move up?
To move up.
From what exactly?
Just whatever 15, your main distance is. So for you, like 15 to 5K. George, 3K steeple to 6K steeple.
I think you'll know when you're feeling like you're feeling a little bit of emptiness. You're like emptiness in your event. You're like, oh, I want more.
Can I have a hot take? I don't really believe in moving up. Like, I believe that
adding on.
No, I believe that like
going down.
Going down. No. I believe that you'll probably peak at shorter distances when you're younger in general. Not true of everyone. But I kind of believe that, like, let's say, like, because there's always been this idea of moving up to the marathon. And I think that's more like a, that's something that people do just because it, like,
physiologically.
Makes sense. It's, yeah, it's more just like a nice thing to do. But I'm pretty sure that, let's say, like, the marathon, like, for most people who are really good marathoners, like, they would be really good marathoners at 20. It's not like they have to wait till 30 to be a good marathoner.
They just know that, like, if you go to the marathon, you can't really go back to the 1500.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know, it's like when you've been, like, some 1500 meter runners can run really good 5Ks, some not as well. But it's like, I feel like for you, like, most of the time when you're in top 1500 meter shape, like, you'll be also in your close to top 5K shape. Like, maybe you would tweak stuff a little bit, you know? But I feel like it's not like,
I agree.
It's not like a big, like, difference.
I would say if you're curious about trying another event, just do it. Yeah. Like, because it gives you the feedback and the, I mean, like, if Jordy wasn't curious about the steeple, you know, he'd be winning the 5K and beating Cole Hocker, but instead he won the steeple instead. So it gives you a same path, different journey.
Well, like Sage, you threaten to move up.
Yeah, then, the event and then steer, back.
Really instead, good you event. Run 155, yeah.
And then you get stuck,
and you get way better, and then you're like, "Well, actually, maybe I'll just stay here."
Yeah.
I think I agree. I think you would be the same. You're just as good at whatever event you're already the best at. Willis just
running. He tried.
He ran a couple 5Ks, but he just never was that good. So he just went back to 1500 forever until he retired.
He definitely tried. I think he had years where he's like, I'm moving up to the 5K this year.
Yeah.
And then he's like, it just didn't really work.
What's his best 5K time?
13:20.
That's not bad.
He would probably do well in like certain championship races.
Tactical races, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I feel like it's just what you, it's just about like.
Speaking of the distances though, I don't know if you heard this, George, but today, Bobby Fark was challenging Joe that could he, and he has to run it in February, run an 800 in under 150, and Joe was like, 100% I could. The New York Marathon.
When does he have to run it by?
February, end of February.
That's quite a lot of time.
Training for it or not training for
training
it?
Training for it. But Robert's like,
or
no
just
chance.
Normal training and then trying to run under 150.
No, training for it. But Robert's like, no chance. And then Joe's like, no, like, I used to run 56s with Ollie. I could definitely do it. I was like, dude, I reckon you could do it.
Yeah, I reckon running under 150 is pretty hard.
It is very hard, but
I've never done it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what? Because then you have to first factor in what Joe's all-time 800 potential would be.
Well, Joe's run 152 in practice, right? 151 in practice in Zurich. He ran like a time trial. And then...
Yeah, I ran 600 of it.
Yeah, so for him though, think about it. If he dropped his mileage down to 60 miles a week and then just started just ripping 200s, I reckon he could do it. I reckon he's talented enough that he could do it. It would be really hard the first like month. And then I think he would get the kind of the vibe.
Yeah. I feel like...
So if he committed November, December, January, February just to breaking eight, just to run in 800 and under 150. No. Yeah. Gave up on the marathon.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. That's what Robert was asking him. Also, his wife is like... one of the best American 800 meters runners. So.
Is that going to help him somehow?
She could give him some tips.
Could coach him.
She could coach him, give him some tips.
I think it'd be challenging, but I think he could. Like, I think Joe could be a really good 5K guy this next season if he wanted to. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I think.
Do the back and forth?
Yeah.
Just go from the marathon back to the track?
But I can't.
254s is like, that's pretty fast once you've stopped doing that kind of training.
Mm.
Yeah, that'd be my only concern.
I'd love to see it happen though. I'd love it.
I think
I love that shit.
I think 800 is an event where, like, going back to the kind of question, like, you would, from a pure like natural talent standpoint, like, you would peak younger. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, even
example A, Cooper, you can be really good really young.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a much higher talent 100%. Pool of an event.
And I think like training more doesn't necessarily make you better at it.
No,
that makes sense.
Definitely not. Definitely.
I mean,
not.
You coach Donovan, so you would know all this stuff, I guess.
But. Well, the thing with Donovan is that dude That dude could probably run sub 210 in the marathon if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to. Doesn't need to.
He's saving it for later in his career.
Well, he's just waiting for the right time, as he always has. Look at that comeback, baby.
Yeah. All right, next question from Anonymous. My track club and I have been longtime fans of the podcast and listen religiously. I won't confirm or deny that George winning the steeple at Worlds made me cry at work. I teach middle school English. But it was moving, and I'm proud to say that I called it and told everyone that would listen. Anyway, what do you all reckon the cure to male loneliness is? We're all happy in relationships, but we joke about this often. Is running 16 by 400 on the track with the boys the cure? Is it road mile repeats with the boys at Sunrise? We're still looking for answers and figure you boys may have some ideas. Cheers and keep doing what you're doing. Can I just say, like, I thought this was a woman initially when they were fanboying over George, just like in the way it was written.
Mm.
And then it was there's nothing wrong with this. But then it was a man. I was surprised. But then they are an English teacher, so they have beautiful, you know,
way of writing. Yeah,
yeah.
This is kind of deep. He's got good answers already.
Yeah, I was gonna say 100%.
Yeah,
nothing better.
I think personally, in my view, a dog or a cat, like an animal.
That's a good answer as
well. I feel like when you're in relationships and you're at this point where, like, you've been with your partner for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and you're in this kind of cycle of just life, your dog or your animal is going to look at you like the best thing in the world. And sometimes you're going to have days where you don't feel like you're the best in the world and you look at your dog and you're like, everything's going to be all right. You know, that is one of my suggestions. Get a dog. Or honestly, coffee club. Having a coffee
Sorry.
Having a coffee with the fellas after like a surf or a swim or doing something or a run and going to have a coffee and just having a chat, that is the cure to male loneliness, in my opinion, because it's just always good vibes. Yeah. Always. And like, I don't know, even when you have people that maybe you don't spend a lot of time with and you go and get coffee with them in a group, like it's fun because you get to get a little layer, a little different perspectives. And it's one of the reasons why we started the podcast, I felt, was it was a very community-based thing. So get a coffee. Yeah. Good and answers. Do 8x mile at threshold.
Yeah, I reckon that the question is on to something, though, with the... I think they already know.
With the Geordie bit? Or?
The Geordie bit, one, but then also the sessions with the squad. I feel like, especially if you're, like, we do this as our main thing. I feel like, especially if you're doing this as your hobby, like... And so it's becomes probably more of a social thing.
Mm.
And you're just getting a good workout in with a group of friends or even if it's with strangers, but you have this shared passion, this shared, you know, this
run clubs is struggle. A big thing too, right? The run clubs stuff.
Yeah.
I think run club culture.
That's been a big dating thing though. Apparently that's like for the single XC guy, like that's a big dating thing.
True. People we should have said that. Join a run club.
Apparently run clubs, you wear certain shirts depending on if you're single or not single.
What are they?
Like different colors?
Like different colored shirts.
Different brands.
Like
maybe?
You wear a shirt if you're taken and a shirt if you're not taken. So then people know like if person's single or not without having to ask them.
Should look up which one it is?
I have no idea what it is. Okay. I just remember hearing about it.
And then you'll just notice, Dylan, why do you keep wearing a yellow shirt? No. Yeah. But I think a passion for us is running. For you, it seems like running as well, but that stuff.
That stuff's always good.
Doesn't get much better than that.
Nope.
What are the colors doing?
It depends on the club. Some social run clubs have an unofficial color code to signal relationship status. Green, single and open to meeting people. Yellow, it's complicated. / just here for fun. Red, taken.
That sounds like a
swinger party.
It's like a...
So I don't
know
if that's true.
Who's wearing the yellow though in that situation? Like,
like the amber color. Yeah.
Like that's kind of like that person's like being a
bit of an amber gambler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're just letting everyone know. Like, yeah, it's guys.
Makes some more people more interested in them probably because there's like, what's going on?
Yeah. All right. Next question is coming in from Joe. Hey, Morgan, George, Ollie, and Gus. A few questions for you guys. If you want to cover all, great. If not, no worries. Curious if you're willing to share how finances work as a pro runner. I feel like there's a decent amount of transparency with a lot of other sports contracts, but there's a lot of vagueness when it comes to running. Like, is most of your salary through brand sponsors? Do countries pay you when you compete at global events? I reckon we can just get that one out of the way because that's pretty straightforward, right?
Mm. We're paid by, what's it called? BlackRock?
Yep.
We're funded.
Corporates.
Funded finance. No, jokes aside, we are not paid by our countries.
Well, that's not completely true.
Not for like Olympics and stuff like that. We don't get paid.
So most of our salary comes from our contract with our brand sponsor on for us. And if you have any other ones as well, that's where. And then your salaries will have, I mean, your contracts will normally have bonus structures, which are related to the races and times that you run. Countries will have... Every country will have its own unique funding system, which also pays athletes as well. And then in terms of getting paid to compete at them for the world champs, there's prize money specific. The Olympics, it can be different.
Olympics
World
is,
Athletics chose to pay people, I think, at the last Olympics,
yeah.
I believe, for getting medals. But also some countries will pay you for medals at the Olympics, some not at all.
Some won't, yeah.
It all depends. But for us, like our most of it just comes through from on, like your brand sponsor, that's the main.
I guess like when you represent your country, it's not necessarily you're getting paid.
No, it's not like that.
If you get selected for we get selected for the Olympics or for the world team, your country federation doesn't go, okay, you're selected, we'll pay you now.
But they would pay for like a training camp, maybe.
Yeah. They'll pay for flights, they'll pay for, well, the accommodation, like all that stuff's paid for, but and then,
but we all make most of our money from the Coffee Club podcast anyway. So
yeah,
that stuff doesn't really matter for us. That was
the
a joke.
IRS.
That was a joke,
listening.
By the way. That was a joke, by the way. That wasn't true. let's move on. Morgan, specifically now that you're not part of the OEC/ that specific team, do you have to do a lot of logistics planning when it comes to traveling to races and such that you would usually be handled by the team leaders? I'll answer this one quickly as well. Yes, I guess, but like it's not that hard. We have agents as well that take care of a lot of it. So previously, maybe Dathan would be communicating with your agent on certain things. Now I would have to be the one communicating with my agent, but
that means
honestly,
you get to know your agent more.
Yeah, honestly, like I'm like around races, like I'm like a bit of a control freak sometimes. So I kind of like to be able to like choose like what hotel I'll be in or like what flight I'm on. So that's never really a bother for me. Final question, I think. If those are too awkward of questions to handle, already handled, I guess, another more light question is travel related. Being fortunate enough to see a lot of the world, where is your favorite place that you've ever traveled to and could see yourself living? That's a good question. Thank you, Joe.
I think I've talked about my answer on the podcast a lot of times.
Is it? Wait, George, do we know what his answer is? I can't, like, nothing...
Probably some surfing place.
I thought it was Italy.
Well, Italy would be amazing, but I've only been to one.
It's probably Sennes, Norway.
Oh, it's Norway, Oslo.
Oh, it is Oslo.
I was close.
Actually.
I feel like for me,
because of Jakob, right?
Yeah, it's 100% because of Jakob. I feel like for us though, like that's the one thing is we get a very small glimpse into a lot of places that we go. They're like massive countries, right? Like. Oslo, for me, the reason why I love that place and would love to live there for a period of time, because obviously the surfing is non-existent, is just because like I don't know the vibes there and my experiences there. I also have my own bean roast there.
It's pretty good.
And my best friend lives there. I don't know, like the Norwegians, just they very very. Confident that they are the best country in the world, so why not try and live there and see if they're right? But I mean, dude, like that, the one thing I have to admit, now going backtracking what I just said, when we did nationals in Western Australia, dude, that would be pretty nice to live there.
Really?
Yeah, it'd be super nice to live there. Man, me and Kai and I, or Mr. Grant, Kai and I, when we were there, dude, it was just like beautiful. It was just so pretty, and it was like very, very relaxed environment. The running there wasn't too bad, and the coffee was great there, and the beaches were beautiful. I mean, it's just like, it's like pretty hard to beat, and it's also one of the cities that's furthest away from any other city in the world. So like, the clean air that's around that area is like insane. It's like super clean. The only thing that's scary with WA is
sharks.
No, I was going to say sharks. I was going to say the British tourists that live there for working in the mines. They're kind of scary.
Yeah, that's actually more scary than sharks. You're right.
Mm. You might get a British accent if you live in WA. But other than that, what do you two, what do you guys think?
Surely Morgs is Italy.
Yeah, if I could answer, I'd say probably like my Stardew Valley farm in like probably the Tuscany area. Near specifically, hopefully near like a hot spring type thing. Like in Italy, they have some natural hot springs, which I would just go to probably every day and just work on a little farm there. Life in Italy. Well, see, I feel like George, you would always almost potentially say like Italy as well, because I know how much you love it also. It's just, you know, they just, they got their priorities set. Life is a little bit slower there. You can, it feels like you can live a bit easier. Again, this is as an outsider. It's so you're always making assumptions and you don't really know what it's like to live in a place. But I just love the feeling there. And I would love to learn Italian as well.
I feel like they're pretty like overall, if you're talking about priorities, their priorities are pretty good. If you're talking about like things like you would want for happiness, I think the Italians are on a good path.
They're doing a good job. Which actually though, the funny thing is, the you know what the happiest country in the world is?
Finland. Doesn't it always win it?
It's Finland. And it's funny because...
It's because they have saunas.
It's probably because of, mostly because of Valtteri Bottas. But it's just funny because Finland is like, it's a Scandinavian country that has like, you know, in the winter they have like 4 hours of sunlight. So you would never think they'd be the happiest. But, I don't want to get political. It's probably because of all their amazing systems that I think they have. Like they have amazing schools and stuff, social goods. So that's a completely different thing. But
what do you say? So you're saying socialism equals happiness?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I said let's not get political. I'm not getting political at all. I'm just saying it's an interesting observation. I'm sure Italy is pretty high on that happiness list as well. I'm not certain, but I would assume so. But my answer would be Italy. But actually, I love your answer of Norway, because when I was in Sweden, I was like, yeah, there's a lot of amazing stuff here.
Sweden's up there.
Sweden's gorgeous.
Yeah. For now, I think I would choose some European place. Portugal, I thought when I was there, I was like, wow, maybe I could live here.
Not Malta?
That's going to be a big no for me.
Do you remember Geordie talking about Malta?
I don't remember.
I would not live in Malta.
Was it called car park on an island, you called it?
Did I?
Yeah. Car park island.
I hope there's no Maltese people listening.
Well, in all fairness, I think you were saying it was very different from what you expected in Malta.
Anyway, we all chose Europe. I thought I was going to say, wait, did we say another country? I thought you were going to pick a surfing place.
Well, the reason why I didn't is because I think you mentioned like where you've traveled to for running. Like the only place that I've traveled to for running is Hawaii. And to be honest, I wouldn't live in Hawaii because I feel like Hawaii is already overpopulated and there's a lot of issues in Hawaii that need to be sorted out. And another, you know, person like me coming into Hawaii is probably not a great thing.
I think you could fix everything there.
Really? I should run for governor.
Yeah, go for it. Get your coffee farm.
Yeah. I mean, Hawaii is like a pretty amazing place, but I would say
there's no place like home, huh?
Yeah, I mean, like New Zealand didn't even get mentioned, but Australia did, so that's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a win for you boys.
It's a win for us. But I tell you what, where Sam Tanner lives in Tannerland, that's also, if there was ever a race there.
The city's called Tannerland.
If there was a race there, I think we would be like, oh, wouldn't mind living here.
Yep.
Tannerland.
And, you know, shout out to Malta, though. I have never been, but I would like to go. And
we support you. I didn't mean to listen to what Joy said.
Yeah, don't. I don't mean to give the Malta hate.
Don't listen to what Ollie said that Joy said. Yeah. We love you.
We love everyone.
I think we should probably start to round this episode out here. I think there's still a bunch of Q&A. So thank you so much to everyone who did send them in. Maybe we'll continue upon them next week. And yeah, because that was really fun, and I feel like we still got a bit to go. So
we'll bank a few of them.
We'll pause there. We'll get to the rest of them.
When do we get our ask our fans questions?
What would you like to ask the fans, Ollie? Actually, right now. Respond in the comments.
Okay. You have to. I was about to say you have to pick out of the three of us. Going down a sinking ship, you have to pick one of us to survive. Who are you picking?
No, that's a terrible one. I thought you were going to do the other one.
Yeah, me too.
We both thought that.
Yeah.
You can do that one too if you want in the comments.
No, I guess my question to your fans are, what is...
To our fans, Ollie, come on.
To our fans. I didn't know people were fans of me. To our fans, my question for you guys, and you guys can write comments under the Spotify or the YouTube thing. Just be nice. My question to you guys is, when you're listening to the Coffee Club podcast, what's your usual... what are you doing usually? Are you like at home? Are you just, you know, skipping work and watching it at work? Are you working out? Are you having a coffee? Are you having dinner? Or are you watching it with anyone in particular?
I hope a lot of people are having dinner, like with their partner. And like, sorry, I just got to put the coffee cup
part up. Wait, I gotta watch this clip. But Jordy said something really funny here. Just wait to it. Gotta watch it. But
that's how you're watching it.
Yeah, I think that's a nice question. I've always wondered what our fans like, how they're listening to us.
Yeah.
Are you like on the toilet?
How do you watch? What is it, Mr. Potato Man? What is it?
The Burnt Peanut?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Sorry.
Excellent read. I watch The Burnt Peanut when my girlfriend isn't over because she hates him. She hates video games in general.
Any other time.
Anti-video games, anti-all that stuff. So, like, I remember one time with her brother, he and I got Sonic, and we sat and watched Burnt Peanut for, like, 45 minutes, and I was laughing so hard that I was crying, and it just felt good. And then, you know.
And then she arrived.
And then she came from work and I turned it off, and then we watched Scream Queens, which is a great show, by the way, on Disney Plus.
Familiar. Well.
Outstanding.
That's a great question. Everyone, please give us your answers.
I don't know. Is it a good question? I don't know.
I just think it is a very good question.
I was just curious.
It's a great question. So, guys, thank you once again for sending in the questions. Absolutely love them. We'll get to the rest of them in the coming weeks. But thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Coffee Cup Podcast. I think it was number 206. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. See ya.